tonight have two parts to this under the topic of finding faith in the furnace. But my main thought tonight is something good is going to come out of this. So we're going to look in Daniel chapter 3. Daniel chapter 3. We're going to begin at verse 19 and read through 25. Daniel 3, 19 through 25. If you're there, say amen. Then was Nebuchadnezzar full of fury, and the form of his visage was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Therefore he spake and commanded that they should heat the furnace 17 times more than it was wont to be heated. And he commanded the most mighty men that were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and to cast them into the burning fiery furnace. Then these men were bound in their coats, their hosen, and their hats, and their other garments, and were cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Therefore, because the king's commandment was urgent, and the furnace exceedingly hot, the flame of the fire slew those men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down, bound, into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Then Nebuchadnezzar, the king, was astonished and rose up in haste and spake and said unto his counselors, "Did not we cast three men bound into the midst of the fire?" They answered and said unto the king, "True, O king." He answered and said, "Lo, I see four. I see four men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt. And the form of the fourth," look at that, "the form of the fourth is like the Son of God." Drop down to verse 30. And the king, now this is after they had been called out of the furnace, then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon, in one of the most wicked cultures, three of the most righteous men were promoted. Praise God. Father, thank you for the word of God tonight. Thank you for the entrance of your word. It bringeth life. I need that life tonight. We need that life tonight. Would you bring that life and impart it, infuse it into somebody's life tonight? In Jesus' name we pray. Everybody say amen. As you're seated, turn to the person beside you and say, "Something good is going to come out of this." Now I want you to say it like you're really going through something. Something good is going to come out of this. Praise God. I just feel commissioned tonight to be an encouragement. Is that okay? It's nothing deep. It's pretty basic. Isaiah 35:3 says, "Strengthen the weak hands. Confirm the feeble knees." That means encourage the exhausted and strengthen the spiritually worn out. So that's what I hope to do tonight, okay? In fact, encouragement should be a regular part of the life of a believer. Hebrews 3:13 says, "Exhort one another." How often? Daily. That means encourage one another daily. There's not a day that goes by that we couldn't benefit from the encouragement, or that we should be lacking in giving some encouragement, hello, to others. And so encouraging one another matters because it keeps us, as that scripture in Hebrews goes on to say, it says, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Looky there how he connects encouragement to yielding to the temptation of sin, or not being encouraged or discouraged. So encouragement, he says, keeps us focused right. How many can just say, I want to refocus tonight? It's that time that we can be supportive. And so I want us to look for just a few moments at this very familiar story that we've all heard from our very, probably the youngest of us here have heard this story in our Sunday school lessons. But the fact is, there may come a time in our lives when we find that all we hold valuable is gone. Whether it's our job, our spouse, our children, our home, everything we truly loved or held dear, there may come a time where it could all be gone. To compound the problem, we may also find that the individuals we thought we could count on have not and will not come to our aid. They might be gone as well. Sometimes the people we trusted and loved and looked out for, at times they're the first ones to align themselves against us. When we need an encouraging word, when we desire some level of human assurance, people we thought we could count on may be the first to withhold the very thing that we need to help turn our situation around. And I pray you never are in that predicament. But however, if you are there, remember, sometimes we're in those situations because of our own making. Other times we're there because we've been faithful. And the spiritual fact is that evil tests and puts the most pressure on some of the most worthy souls. Somebody said, and no one has been greatly used of God who did not experience the great fires of adversity. And if you're there, it doesn't necessarily have anything to do with your level of non-commitment. It can. But then there's times where good people, anointed people, hello. No one was more anointed than Christ, but he found himself in the midst of adversity. So I just really felt that someone here, and maybe several someones, may be going through the greatest fire of your life. It's the kind that hurts. It's the kind that makes you cry on the inside. And then you can cry on the outside when no one's looking. Hello. And I know it's going to sound crazy, but I want to say something. I'm going to mess with you a little bit tonight. Since you all came back after this morning, you're gluttons for punishment. No, thank you. But let me mess with you. What you ought to be doing, if you're here tonight and you're finding yourself in this situation, you really ought to be praising God that you made it to the fire. What do you mean? There's other people that never made it to the fire. There's other people that died at the door. Hey, do you understand what I'm saying? I mean, the king's three most mighty men in his army, they died at the door. Newsflash, it's a miracle that you made it this far. By all rights, you shouldn't be here this evening. Huh?
praise God. I said, by all rights, you shouldn't be. God caused you to avoid a car wreck by making you late for work. A person that had the wreck, the officers on the scene said, it's a miracle that no one should have come out of that alive. Hello, has anybody ever been there? Someone else, you shouldn't have lived through that last drug overdose. You had enough drugs in your system. I'm going to preach here in a minute. You had enough drugs in your system to kill an elephant, but somehow you're here tonight. I said, you ought to be thanking God that you made it to the fire. You shouldn't have made it. Other people shouldn't have made it. Other people didn't make it, but you're here. Why? Because God has His hand on you. It's a miracle that some is not in prison. Hello. If you tell the truth, you know that you're just as guilty or more so than the people that are in prison. But God had mercy on you. There's somebody listening tonight now that knows that it's a miracle that you're not in a mental institution. Hello. Other people have gone through a lot less than what you went through and lost their minds. They went off the deep end. What are you trying to tell me, Pastor? I'm trying to tell you that you ought to be praising God, first of all, that you made it to the fire. Because there's some that died at the door. The three mighty men who were voted most likely to succeed, they had everything going for them. If anybody should have made it, it should have been them. But they died at the door. Now, on the other hand, nobody expected you to make it. But here you are tonight, alive. In your mind, serving God, hopefully. Some of us filled with the Holy Ghost. Praise God. So don't complain because you go through the fire. What you ought to be doing is praising God that you made it to the fire. Somebody here tonight could testify and say, I could have died at the door. I could have died in a car wreck. I could have died in a drug overdose. I could have been serving life in prison. I could have lost my mind. But God had His hand on me. I didn't even know God, but He was watching over me. I wasn't even serving Him, but He had His hand on me. He sent His angels, even when I was far from Him. He sent His angels to keep me. Listen, friends, I don't know about you, but I wasn't the strongest one. I wasn't the smartest one. I wasn't the most popular one. I wasn't the one expected to make it, but I made it, and there's no explanation except God had something to do with it. And for some sitting here tonight, a few years ago, some would have never thought you'd been a Christian. Some would think you were the farthest one to ever be a Christian. No one would have thought you'd have made it to be a Sunday school teacher or a children's worker or a bus worker. A few years ago, no one would have thought you had been able to pray or work in a church. But here you are this evening sitting here and you've been plugged into Broadway Assembly. And I want to say thank God. It sounds to me like God has brought somebody to the fire and through the fire. Now, I want us to see something. We're going to get you out of the fire here. Isn't that good? We don't want to just get to the fire. We want to get through it, right? Okay, but God just wanted to remind somebody that He was with you.
Aren't you glad for that?
Hallelujah. Now, listen. As a matter of fact, if you are in the middle of the fire tonight, it's proof that you're coming out. Now, I want you to process that a minute. If you're in the middle of the fire, it's proof that you're going to come out because the miracle already started at the door. If God wasn't going to bring you out, you would have died at the door. Help me. Huh? You wouldn't have made it into the fire. Tell somebody, it's hot in here right now, but I'm coming out. Huh? Go ahead. Tell your friend. God wouldn't have brought me to the middle if He wasn't going to bring me out.
Hallelujah.
Brother Cruz, I need a little... Oh, you got your hands full. Give me a cup of water. Please. I just need a little... Wow, I got two of them. They're going to get a big one.
I'm going to preach all night on that. If you're feeling the heat tonight, I'm not here to tell you the fire isn't real. It's real. I'm not here to tell you it doesn't hurt, because it hurts. But I want to remind you that something good is going to come out of this. I know right now that sounds like insanity, because there is no visible, tangible, physical evidence of anything good in that fire. You're going to make it, and you're not going to burn. Here's what the scripture said. You're going to come out, and I don't mean you're going to come out crawling on your hands and knees, all beat up, broke, busted, disgusted, no clothes, no money, no peace, no joy, with your eyebrows burnt off, smelling like smoke. Hello? No. The devil would like to make you think that. But you know what he is? He is the father of lies. When you come out, once you've surrendered to God, you're coming out blessed. You could come out healed. You could come out delivered. You could come out with joy and peace and a greater anointing than you've ever experienced in your life. Listen, something good is going to come out of this. Now, I want to take a few points and make a few deductions from this passage. Number one, the king chose his three most mighty men. In other words, his best, his strongest, his meanest, his best trained soldiers in the army of Babylon. Somebody said, Pastor, I don't understand it. It just feels like I'm fighting on a different level. And it feels like the enemy is stronger than before. And he's even smarter than before. Well, that ought to tell you something. The devil wouldn't bring out his best if you weren't a threat. If you weren't headed in the right direction. If God wasn't for you, the devil wouldn't be against you. Hello? And the fact that he's bringing out his best tells me you're headed in the right direction. It tells me that you're getting close to walking in your purpose. You're getting ready to step into a greater commitment or dimension in your life. And he's trying to intimidate you. He's trying to make you back down. Notice, I want you to see, the king chose his three most mighty men. Hang on to that. We'll come back to it. Next, I want you to see, they bound these three men that they were going to throw in there. Shadrach, what were their names? Meshach and Abednego. I want you to see, this is the first thing the devil wants to do to us when we get ready to go to the furnace. He wants to bind us. That means he wants to restrict you and limit you and contain you. That means he wants to take away the liberty and the freedom you have in God. Because he knows if you get in the furnace without that liberty, then things are not going to turn out good. That means he wants to take away your liberty and your freedom. One of Satan's griefs is to see the children of God walking, living in liberty, expressing themselves with the peace of God and through the joy and the rejoicing and the worshiping and the praise without restraint, without fear, or without reservation. So he sends things our ways to push us down and to back us up and to quiet us, to put a lid on us, to dampen our praise and to get us all tangled up in fear and all tangled up in anxiety and worry, because he knows the power of freedom. He knows the power of freedom in praise and worship. So I want you to hang on that, because I'm going to wrap all these points together, hopefully. Next, I want you to see, they were then not only bound, but then they were cast, thrown into the furnace. Not just a fiery furnace, which speaks of adversity and trial and hardship and pain and sorrow, but a furnace that the Bible speaks of seven times hotter or greater, more intense, more painful. Somebody right now, you're fighting something maybe that you've never fought before. Right? The attack is more severe. The enemy is more aggressive. The pain is deeper. The night is darker. Help me. It seems heavier. The hurt seems to last longer. But I remind you again, something good is going to come out of the fire. Next, notice, they fell down, bound in the midst of the furnace. I know we're people of faith, and we don't want to be negative. But how many would just be honest enough to tell the truth and say, I've fallen down a time or two. Huh? And I was bound when I fell down. Huh? Come on, just admit it.
Hello.
Since you started this Christian walk, we've fallen down once or twice, three, four. The fact is, sometimes the devil will hit you with something you never expected. And it knocks the wind out of you. You find yourself lying on the ground saying, wow, where did that come from? What happened? And these three Hebrew boys found themselves, Scripture says, lying on the ground on the hot coals, bound in the midst of the fire. Somebody say, thank the Lord it doesn't end there. Because it says the next moment, the wicked king looked into the furnace and he was amazed. Everybody say, wow. He expected to see three Hebrew cooked, well done. Hello. But instead he saw four men up. Hello. Remember where they were? He saw four men standing upright, loose. Oh, remember what they were? They were down. They were bound. He finds four men up, loose, walking. Woo! And he says that fourth man looked like the Son of God. The devil thinks he has some of us, but we need to show him we have a fiery praise that will burn off the bondages that this world would like to restrain us with. The devil thought because he heard us and that he made us cry that it was over. Our enemies, the ones who saw us go into the fire, took pleasure in throwing us in. The ones who said we'd never make it, the ones said that we would be burnt in that fire. They said those drugs would kill you. They said you'll probably die an alcoholic. That, listen, you need to tell the devil, I'm still here. Hallelujah. I'm still here. Why? Because God has a purpose for you. You better praise Him. I said somebody better recognize God's got His hand on you for a divine reason. You could have died in that furnace, but God's got His hand on you. You can get up. I said you can walk. You can be free tonight. I said I feel God in this place. I said some of you come into this service. You were bound. You were down. But I said if you'll get a vision of the Lord Jesus Christ, I said He'll come right to where you are. Why? Because something good is going to come out of this. I'm feeling good tonight. Woo. I feel an anointing in this house. You better not shirk this off and say, oh, pastor's just going nuts. I'm telling you, God's working on somebody. Woo. Yeah. Yeah, I've been through the fire, but I'm still here. Yeah, I went through the fires of hell, but I'm still here. Yeah, the devil hit me hard, and I went down, and it hurt, and I cried a while. But thank God I'm still here. Woo! And I have a news flash for the devil. I'm getting up again. I said I shall get up again, though I fall, I shall arise. I'm not only going to get up again,
I'm not only going to get on my feet again, but I'm going to be free. Woo! Something good is going to come out of this. Huh? It's in the fire. It is in the fire, church, where we really learn how to walk for God.
He said he found them walking.
Huh? I don't believe they were just kind of moping. It's in the fire where we learn to dance. Hello? It's in the fire where we learn how to shout. It's in the fire where we learn how to praise. I'm getting ready to praise like I've never praised before. I'm getting ready to shout like I've never shouted before. I'm getting ready to dance like I've never danced before. Because now I know not only can the God that I serve keep me from evil, keep me from the snares and from the traps that the devil wants to set for me, but the God that I serve can walk right into the middle of my fire. Right into the middle of everything that I'm going through. And He can lift me. He can liberate me. In the middle of my pain. In the middle of my misery. In the middle of my grief. In the middle of the darkest hour of my life. He comes and He says, hey, He looks like the Son of God. Has anybody ever looked at you and said, wow, they've got something I don't have. I want to be able to say, they're seeing the Son of God. I said, in the midst of your fire, they're seeing the Son of God. Why? Because, church, I'm talking about a God that can shut the lion's mouths and they can't even take a single bite. I'm talking about a God that can breathe through His nostrils, creating a super highway through the Red Sea for about 3 million Israelites. I'm talking about a God that can call Lazarus's cold dead body out of a cold grave and infuse it with resurrected and new life. No other God can deliver on that sort. I said no other one can do it. Why? Because I've got good news. Something is going to come out of all of this. It's going to be good. Hallelujah. Let me give you a little more good news here. The same fire that was intended to burn them up burned up the ones who threw them in. Don't worry about the enemies. Don't worry about those that mock you for becoming radical for Christ. Hello. We don't wish death on anybody. Hello. But don't you worry about all your haters and agitators. Huh? God can take them. You don't need to raise a finger or say a word. You leave them in the hands of God. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. I will repay it. Yeah, that may not mean anything to some of you, but for some that's got some enemies, those that are ridiculing you for being a Pentecostal believer, hello? For you, it means a lot. Hang in there. God will take care of the others. I want you to notice the fire actually liberated them. What was meant to harm them actually helped them. The fire burned off the things that had them bound. You know, I found out when I get in the fire, and I found out when I first really surrendered to Christ, I found out when I got in the fire, there were some things in my life that I didn't need. Hello.
There were some things that were holding me back, and it took the fire to set me free. The truth is, there was some stuff I didn't want to let go of. Hello. There was some stuff the Lord had dealt with me about, but I hadn't yielded. It took the fire to set me free. The truth is, there was some stuff I didn't want to let go of, but I got free when I got in the fire. The fire set me free from pride. The fire will set you free from self-righteousness. I know we don't talk about it much, but there was stuff that didn't belong in our lives when we got on this gospel ship. And it's taken the fire to deliver us. Is there anybody glad you've been through the fire? Woo! Now I want to say something to those that are going through the fire right now. And you know the devil has turned up the heat. And he's intensified his attacks against you. You're the one who ought to be shouting. You're the one that should be praising God right now, because what the devil has done by increasing and intensifying the fire against your life, what it has really done, it has accelerated your purpose. Verse 30 says, the king promoted each of them. Somebody here knows that the devil has turned the heat up. Hello. In his attacks. Your faith has been stressed and pressed and stretched to the limit. But let me tell you, what the devil meant for evil, God's going to make it work for good. If you're walking in the fire surrendered. And God is going to turn it around. And God is going to take the very thing that the devil sent to destroy you, and he can cause it to accelerate you. Pray. Isn't that beautiful? I'm telling you, this isn't deep, but it's simple and it's powerful. From the fire being 7 times hotter. I like to think of it this way. When I get out of the fire, I'm going to have 7 times more joy. 7 times more peace. 7 times more anointing. 7 times more passion for God. Somebody, you want to be accelerated, but you don't want to go through the fire. I want to tell you, stay in the fire until God calls you out. And when you come out, listen, friend, the fire is not punishment, it's preparation. I said it's not punishment, it's preparation. And I'm telling somebody, it feels like to you that you've just been slow and low gear, like you've been walking in quicksand, and like nothing seems to work out, like you go 1 step forward and 2 steps back. But I want to remind you, if you let God, He can deliver you. He can accelerate you. He can prepare you. Oh, come on, somebody, would you raise your hands and say, Lord, accelerate me. And if it takes the fire, I said, if it takes the fire, I'm willing to go through the fire. Why? Because something good is going to come out of it. Listen, if you come out and you're closer to God than you was, it'll be worth it all. I said, if you come out a surrendered individual with less baggage than when you went into this fire, help me preach. I said, if you come out, listen, friends, He's going to show you that you can come through the fire and come out on the other side like Job, shining like gold. Oh, listen, if you'll just be the clay and say, make me, mold me, break me if you have to. Let me tell somebody, it hurts to be broken. It hurts to, and you're going to cry. But He's got something better. Something good's going to come out of this.
feel like coming to some people in a minute and telling you something good's going to come out of it. Huh? I don't know what you're going through. Something good's going to come out of it, though. Hallelujah. Isn't that good to know? It's good to know. Something good's going to come out of it. Praise God. Isn't it good to have that assurance? Woo! Hallelujah. Oh, somebody just stretch your hands to heaven and say, thank you, Lord, for that assurance. Oh, glory to God. God never said we would never have to go through anything. He didn't promise us, as many as have said in the past, a bed of roses. But this is what he did say to his people in Isaiah. He said, when you pass through the waters, I'll be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. And when thou walkest through, here it is, the fire, thou shalt not be burned. Oh, hallelujah. Neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. Praise God. Hallelujah. I said, God has had his own fire retardant long before man ever invented it. Huh? I said, God's already had that fire, and he just puts it on his children. Hello? He said, a flame is not going to catch fire on you. Hallelujah. Poverty couldn't, and some of us, hello, we've been through some things. You could stand and testify to it tonight. Poverty couldn't take hold on you. Sickness tried, but it couldn't take hold on you. Depression tried.
Hello?
But it couldn't get a hold of you. Fear and anxiety tried, but it couldn't get a hold on you. It reached for you. Even suicide, no doubt, reached for some of us. Alcoholism, drug addiction reached for some of us. But God wouldn't let it kindle upon us. Hallelujah. I said, hallelujah. I'm feeling real good, and I need to quit. Huh? The king looked into the fiery furnace and called them out and publicly declared them to be the winners of that entire event. Right in the midst of a Babylonian pagan culture of thousands of leaders and pagans, he put them up on the stage and he said, listen, I don't want to hear anybody making fun of these three men. I don't want to hear anybody poking fun at their God. Why? Because he's the true and living God. Somebody, when they see your testimony, they're going to realize, hey, this isn't just by accident. This isn't just by coincidence. This is God. I said, this is God. And he's the reason you're here tonight. And there's something good going to come out of it. Raise your hands. Woo, praise him. Praise him. When you going to get out of the fire? Well, God might leave you in there till you get all the bondages burn off. Hello? He might leave you in there until you surrender to him. Pastor can't call you out of the furnace. Hello? No earthly man can call you out of the furnace. Huh? When you going to come out? Whenever God sees you're loose, and whenever God sees you can walk for him. Huh? You're asking God, when are you going to call me out of this fire? Listen, he'll call you out when it doesn't matter when he calls you out. When you're willing to serve God in the fire. When you're willing to communicate with the fourth man still in the fire. Hello? When it doesn't matter, when you've learned how to walk, when you've learned how to dance in the fire, when you have learned how to praise, even though you don't feel like praising, when they come out of the fire immediately, they were elevated in the kingdom. I'm being liberated, accelerated, and elevated by the fire, by the very thing the devil sent to burn me up. God is going to bring something good out of it. Why? Because I'll let Him. Hello? I want us to say, God, I'll let you do a work in my life tonight. Somebody, I don't want you to leave without surrendering your will to God. You say, listen, I'm not going to break. Then you're going to stay in the fire. No, I'm not going to let go of that baggage. I'm not going to break that bondage. You're going to stay in the fire. Hello. But until you say, Lord, I promise to surrender and serve you without reserve. Whatever you want from me, I give it to you. Listen, somebody needs to surrender tonight. Somebody needs to say, God, I'm tired of struggling like I've been. I can't make this thing work on my own. Why? Because you've got to realize the only reason you're still alive tonight is because the fourth man has been with you. Then you didn't even know it. I said, you didn't even know it, but He was there. His angels were watching over you. Why? Oh, I feel somebody here tonight really needs to turn loose and let God have His way. Listen, somebody said, Pastor, I've never experienced anything like this before. There's a reason for it. Hello? We believe and we preach the sovereignty of God. That means there's a reason for it. You're not an accident. I'm not an accident. You're not here by accident. And everybody here was orchestrated, divinely appointed by God to be in this service. It's because God is getting you ready. I said He's getting you ready to say, yes, Lord, whatever it is. Listen, a lot of us want to take a shortcut and go around the fire. But listen, friends, the real shortcut is through the fire. Hello? The real shortcut is through the fire. And something good will come out of it if you'll let it. Stand with me. Oh, go ahead. Tell your neighbor something good's going to come out of this. Oh, I feel that. I just feel a liberty here tonight. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Somebody needs. God has already spoken in this service, even before I got up. God has spoken through what is called in the New Testament tongues and interpretation. And this is what He said in essence. He says, cry out to me.
Hello.
Cry out to me. You know who you are here tonight as every head is bowed. You know who you are. You know you need to cry out on the shoulder of Jesus. You know He's passing by just for you. Oh God, I sense destiny in this house. And I don't ever want to pry or pull anybody into this altar. But I really sense tonight, if some of us do not respond, that it's not going to be good. God forbid that someone is to die in the furnace. That's not the plan of God. The plan of God is to pull you out, to elevate you. But if we will not surrender, I'm afraid some of us will die in the furnace. So I want the saints to begin to pray. Some's already come forward. Oh, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. I want you to plead the blood. I want the power. I don't want this to be an emotional stir. Because emotions can die as soon as we leave this sanctuary. I don't want just an emotional stir. I want something transformational. I want something that's long-term, long-lasting. And I think my wants are in tune with God's wants. That's it, son. That's it, son. Just find a place to pray. I need some brother. That's it, sister. Thank you for coming. All right. I want some families to come around, pray for this young man, this young lady right here. That's it, Eric. That's it, buddy. I met this guy this week. Thank you for coming, Eric. You told me you'd be here. I appreciate that. I want some brothers together around Eric here. Oh, God. Oh, God. God's going to do something in this service if we'll let Him. God's going to tell you something tonight if you'll open your ear to Him. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Sister Evelyn. God's working. I need a couple sisters to come pray for Sister Evelyn. Oh, God. That's it, young man. That's it, young man. Woo! Jesus,
so
Jesus.
Remember when you're standing come, in the God. Valley of decision.
Oh, that's it. You come, you come, you come. You're welcome to come. I need some prayer warriors. We need some folks to pray.
In.
We need some brothers and sisters.
You're
welcome to come. Find a place to pray or find a brother, brother. Pray with them. Put your hand on their shoulder. Say, we're going to stand with you, bro. We're going to pray with you. We're going to be your friend.
Oh, woo! He never promised that the cross would not get heavy and the hill would not be hard
Glory.
To climb.
Glory. That's it. That's
he
it.
Never
That's
offered
it. That's
the
it.
Victory
That's
without
it, brothers.
Fighting,
That's it, sisters.
But he said help would always come in time. So remember when you're standing in the valley of decision. And the adversary says, give in, just hold on. Our Lord will show up, and He will take you through the fire again. Oh, He never promised that the cross would not get heavy, and the hill would not be hard to climb. Never offered the victory without fighting, but he said help would always come in time. So remember when you're standing in the valley of